If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to talk about faith tonight. So faith, 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. I'll pray and then we can jump in. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Use it as you wish. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. Thank you that you've been here and that you'll continue to be here this evening. Thank you that you're in us. Give us ears to hear. Speak to our hearts directly, Lord. Give us truths we need to know and that we have no other way of finding out. Give us wisdom. Give us step-by-step instruction. We thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. Your word's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Give me the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John 5, 4 and 5, it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So whatever is born of God overcomes the world. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. We're sons and daughters of God. So we have the potential of being overcomers, of overcoming the world, because we're born of him. And it says the victory that has overcome the world is our faith. And it says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Those are small H's on the word he. So it's not talking about God. It's not talking about Jesus. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about us. Everyday believers, we are able to overcome the world because we're born of God, because we believe in Jesus, and because of our faith, it gives us victory. That word overcome in overcomes the world, it means to conquer and prevail and to get the victory. It's Christians that hold fast, that hold on to their faith, even unto death when necessary. Just as Jesus did, you know, he was able to, for the joy that was set before him, endure the shame of the cross to become sin for us, because he knew that he would overcome. He knew that was necessary. And that's the capability of our faith. That's the capability that's in us as sons and daughters of the Lord. In the Amplified Bible, it says, "For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Who is it that is victorious over, that conquers the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on that fact?" We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It says the demons believe, and they tremble. So belief on its own isn't a whole lot if the demons even believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But if we believe and then have action that corresponds with it, faith without works is dead. There needs to be some sort of response that we have. There's something there. So we believe, we adhere to, we trust in, and rely on the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's for us and not against us, that he'll never leave us or forsake us. That word faith, it means an assurance or a conviction of truth. It's a belief respecting your relationship to God. It's confidence in the Lord. And faithfulness in the character of one who can be relied on. That's one definition of faith. Faithfulness in the character of one who can be relied on. You know, we can rely on the Lord. He is faithful. He is good. He's a good father. And we can have faith in that. We can be assured of that. We can be convinced of that truth and have conviction in that relationship with the Lord. You don't have to turn there. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." So God is faithful. We can trust in his character. You know, there are exceedingly great and precious promises in the world, and Jesus has said yes and amen to those. You know, he fights for us on our behalf. And so does the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. So God is faithful, and we're called into that relationship, that koinonia fellowship, and communication and joint participation with the Lord. But it is a two-way street. It's not just us speaking at God. It's us speaking together, just as we speak together as a church family and enjoy time with one another. So God is faithful. He's trustworthy. He can be relied upon. He's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our faith. In the Message Bible in 1 John 5:4, it says, "Every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith." I like how it says that. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And the world is to be subject to us. God gave Adam dominion over the world. He told him to go and multiply. He gave him charge, gave him responsibility, gave him power. And he gave that away to Satan. But praise God, Jesus got it back for us. And we're in that place now where we have authority. The devil still is the prince and power of the air. He still is the God of this world. But he's only in control where he's able to be. He's only in control where he's allowed to be. And so it's our job. It's our responsibility to take back those places. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So prayer is important, and being led in our prayers. But this power, this faith, and us being sons and daughters will bring the world to its knees. Our faith is a conquering power that will bring the world system to its knees. You can turn to Hebrews 11:1, and we'll see what faith is. Hebrews 11:1. This chapter, it's the Faith Hall of Fame. So we find out what faith is, and then we hear about all these men and women in the Old Testament that were faithful, that did things in faith. Sometimes walking out our faith looks crazy. Sometimes you'll be made fun of, you'll be persecuted, but God is faithful. He won't leave his children. So be obedient to what he shows. Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In the Amplified Bible, it says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." So, Jenny and I, we own a house in Detroit Lakes. No one can talk me out of that because I have the deed for it. I don't carry it around everywhere with me because I don't need to have proof of it. I know I have it. It's somewhere in our house. But no one can come to our house and say, "Hey, this is mine," because I'm confident in it. I'm assured. I own it. It's mine. It's just as real, if not more real, in the spiritual realm with godly things and spiritual truths. Faith is that assurance, that substance that we can hold on to, that we can have hope in, that joyful and confident expectation, the proof and the conviction of their reality, even if we don't see them with our five senses yet. In youth group, I know I've said this many times, but they taught us, my youth pastors taught us, that facts are not not truth or lie, but temporary circumstances. You know, the fact was that Mike had cancer. But the truth is that by Jesus' stripes he was healed. And so he could grab onto that conviction and that assurance and hope and walk that out and praise God, he's healed. And it will not come back. And he will be stronger than he was before. And what the devil tried to steal, he'll have to pay back. In money, in relationship, in time. You know, that's what we can grab onto. And there's many, many promises. You know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, he is our provider. Anything we need or would have questions on, there are answers in God's written word and his spoken word as well. And we can grab onto that faith that we hear, those truths, and hang on to them, even if we don't see the substance or the manifestation of those things in the physical realm yet. We can know that they're there, that we have obtained them, that God has given them to us. So faith is it's a firm persuasion. It's a firm expectation. You're not going to get talked out of it. We can get talked out of things that we learn, just knowledge, but we can't be talked out of experiences. And that's what we owe people, is experiences with the Lord. Opportunities to hear his voice for themselves. So faith is that firm persuasion. It's a confidence in the hope that God will perform all he has promised to us in Jesus and through Jesus. We can have confidence that God will perform what he has promised, what his word says, what Jesus said he would do, what the Holy Spirit said he would be in our lives. You can grab onto that. In the New Living Translation, it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. You know, faith is that confidence that it will actually happen. That hope and joyful and confident expectation. The Message Bible, it says, faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. You know, faith is that solid and firm rock foundation. If it's not of faith, it's sin. If it's not of faith, it's sand. And it can waste away, and it will waste away. And there will be no eternal value in it. But faith will stay. And it will actually happen. We can be confident in that. So faith believes what it doesn't see, what it doesn't perceive with the five senses. If you already see it, then there is no faith. You already have it physically. You know, spiritually, we have it. But we don't have to continue to have faith and hope if it's already there. If we already see it, then there is no faith. Next, you can turn to Romans 10:17, and we'll see how we get faith. I can't remember the passage right now, but we're told in the Word that we've all been given a measure of faith. So we all start off with a specific measure, a specific amount, and we all get that same amount of faith. Because we have to have faith in Jesus to believe in him, to believe that he died on the cross and rose again, and then confess him as our Lord. So just starting off, God has already given us some faith, enough to at least believe in him and give our lives to him. But we can continue to get more faith and grow in faith. Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word is the Greek word rhema. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the rhema word of God. which is the spoken word and living voice of God. The Rhema word of God is living and spoken. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the spoken and living voice of God. It doesn't say faith comes from when you heard the word of God. It doesn't say faith comes from when you heard the word of God back in Sunday school when you were five, and that you get to live on that forever. You know, there are truths that you get then that will stay with you, but you can't just have a meal 3 years ago and never eat again. You need to continue to eat so you can continue to grow and become stronger. And the same comes with faith. It's an active, ongoing hearing where we continue to get faith. You know, I didn't only become a husband on May 23rd, 2009. I wasn't just a husband once. I've had to continue to be a husband and get better at it and fix things and hear things that Jenny tells me that I might not be doing well. Or see other people's marriages and see, oh, I'm bad at that. I can work on that. Or hear from the Lord to fix certain things. So being a husband is a continual, ongoing action. It's not just a one-time thing. And I continue to hopefully grow in that. And the same comes with faith. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and listening and acting on it and hanging on to those words. That give us faith and assurance and confidence that those things will actually happen. And we continue to hear and continue to grow. And that's why it's so important that we hear and learn how to hear God's voice. And that's why we focus on it so much in this church. Because I grew up in church, went to Christian school, kindergarten through eighth grade. Had two parents that went to Bible school, went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, went to Bible camp in the summers, and I still was messed up by the time I was 18 and was faking my Christianity and struggling and didn't know how to get free until I learned how to hear God's voice. And I thank God for the foundation I have in the Word and how my parents did raise me. But it wasn't until I learned how to hear God's voice all the time, hearing and hearing, that my life was changed and that I no longer had to struggle. And many of you have a similar story. Learning how to hear God's voice and practicing that changes everything. But there's still times even now where I'll go a couple days and realize, oh, sorry, God. I just got caught up in life and ignored you, pushed you out because I got busy. Even as Mr. Pastor Joel, we can still get so busy that we forget that relationship is the most important thing. It's the one thing. It's the one thing. So faith is an active, ongoing hearing where we continue to get faith. In Hebrews 3:14 and 15, it says, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, 'Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion.'" So today, if you will hear his voice. We have the opportunity to listen or not. You know, he stands at the door and knocks. We're to have ears to hear. So hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end and hear his voice today and every day, and don't harden your hearts, because we can grow hard and grow hard to his voice and grow numb to it if we choose to. You know, the people in Hebrews 11 in that Hebrews Faith Hall of Fame. Most of them, if not all of them, did some crazy stuff for the Lord. Noah built a boat when there'd never been rain before for 100 years and was persecuted and made fun of and laughed at. Abraham left everything he knew and just went. He didn't know where at the start. He was going to kill his son. Stories after story after story after story of people that did crazy things, that did things that looked dangerous and like they weren't looking out for their family, like they weren't looking out for themselves. They were persecuted, they were made fun of, but they're the ones that are mentioned in here for their faith and their trust in God, and that they held their confidence until the end. They grabbed onto what they heard and didn't let go. So today and every day, we can choose to harden our hearts and live life in our own way, or to hear His voice and be led by the Lord, whether we're going to be lords of our own life or let Jesus be Lord of our life. We have that decision to make every day. We're called to live a life connected to God and in communion and fellowship and communication with Him. Next, you can turn to 2 Corinthians 5:7. I got used to 3.5 or 4 hour Kenyan services and speaking with a interpreter all the time, so I'll try to keep it not that long. 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." That word walk, it means to live and to make progress in life and to regulate and conduct your life. So we walk by faith. We live, we make progress, we regulate and conduct our life by faith. And that's that assurance and that conviction of truth, that trust and confidence in God. And not by sight, not by appearance, and not by what can be perceived by our five natural senses. We walk and live and regulate and conduct our lives by faith, that assurance, belief, and conviction of truth, and trust and confidence in God, not by sight and appearance. In the Amplified Bible it says, "For we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance." So our lives are to be governed by our faith, by our hope, by our belief and trust in God. His word and His truth are meant to help us live our lives. So we're to walk and live by faith. The faith that comes by hearing and hearing the word, the voice, the living voice of God, not by sight. In the New Living Translation, it says, "For we live by believing and not by seeing." So that's why it's so important that we guard our hearts and that we transform and that we're renewed by the transformation of our minds. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if your believer is wrong, if you're thinking wrongly, then you're going to be living by that and according to those things. So that's why it's so important that we get God's truth, that we know His truth and experience His truth for ourselves, so that we're set free from those lies, so that we can live by that correct believing and by that faith that comes to hearing God's word and not by seeing. You can turn back one chapter to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verses 16 and 18. Second Corinthians 4:16 and 18, it says, Therefore, we don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So like I said before, those things that we don't see, those things that come by faith, the things of the Lord, they're eternal. They're of eternal value. They're long-lasting. They're that foundation built on a rock and not on sand. Those are the things that we need to look to and have faith in and value more than anything else. And here it says to not lose heart, to not lose hope, to not lose faith. Because our inward man is being renewed day by day. And those things that we're going through, it's just a light affliction. It's something small in comparison to what is to come. Everything that we see, everything that we perceive with our five natural senses is temporary. Everything will pass away. They will not last. They do not last. And so many people, even Christians, are consumed with just attaining more physical possessions, fulfilling the American dream, building their own kingdom instead of building the kingdom of God. And none of those things will last. But we can live differently. We can show them what Christianity really looks like, what lives of following Jesus and hearing his word and living by faith looks like. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So it's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible. It's impossible to please God without faith that comes by hearing the word of God and that you walk and conduct your life by. We need to believe that God exists, and we also need to believe that he will reward us for seeking him diligently. Diligently, that means all the time. Not just when things are good, not just when things are bad and we need help, but all the time. In the Message Bible, it says, "It's impossible to please God apart from faith." And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. You know, we have not because we ask not. You know, how often is God just waiting for us to give him the time of day and give him an opportunity? And we get wrapped up in life and forget or ignore. He cares enough to respond to those who seek him. He'll talk to us if we speak to him. Respond to us. God cares enough to respond, but he won't force himself on us. He knows our pains. He knows our hurts. He knows our disappointments. He knows our questions. So we can speak about those to him. He's waiting. Let him respond and heal you and make you whole and give you wisdom. In Romans 14:23, it says, "Whatever is not from faith is sin." So Paul, he didn't only say that it's impossible to please God without faith, but living outside of faith is sin. So not only is it impossible to please God, but it's sin to walk and conduct your life without that faith that comes by hearing and hearing the living, active voice of God. The correct way to live is a life connected to the Word of God, the written and the spoken Word of God. We're to seek and pursue God just as He has done and continues to do for us. It's important that we know the Bible because it is that foundation. It'll keep us from hearing things that are weird. You hear about people all the time on the news that are on trial because they heard a voice and they thought it was God tell them to kill their children, and they drove their car into a lake or drowned them in a bathtub. If we know the Word, we know it says do not murder. So the Spirit and the Word cannot be at odds. God's not schizophrenic. So that foundation, it keeps us in line so we don't get in a ditch. It gives us boundaries so we realize if we hear something that doesn't line up with the Word, we can know, oh, that must have been me. Or in certain cases, it could be even a demonic thing, oppression, or in some people's cases, even possession. So it is important that we know the Word. Jesus said that we can know His voice. His sheep know His voice, and they won't follow the voice of another. When we know our shepherd, we won't follow other people's voices. I know Jenny's voice, even if we're on the phone. I know it's her. So if another lady called from Jenny's phone and it said, Jennifer, my princess, on my cell phone, and I answered it, and then a different lady asked for my social security number or my debit card number, I would know, something's off here. That's not Jenny's voice. And the same goes with when we know the voice of God. If we hear something else, we can know and be assured, that's not my God, that's not Jesus, that's not my shepherd. But that comes by practice. So we need to continue to seek and pursue and continue to get that faith that comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Live life that way. In Proverbs 8:17, it says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. So once again, God cares enough to respond to those who diligently seek Him. Those who seek Him diligently, make it a lifestyle. They'll find me. They'll experience me. There's only a couple people in the Bible that God calls His friend. That comes from a relationship. I don't want to just hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'd love to hear, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. But I'd also like to hear, this is my friend. In Genesis 15, 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. So the Lord came to Abram, later Abraham, and he said, faith comes by hearing. God spoke to him, and Abraham heard. Don't be afraid. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward. The reward of diligently seeking God is God Himself. It's that relationship. God wants to be diligently sought after and be walked with in communion here on earth and to be fully enjoyed in heaven for eternity. That's why He created Adam, was for fellowship. Relationship with God now and forever is our purpose. What greater reward could there be? So we need to live that out and grab onto that and realize that. And I'm speaking to myself as well. And then share that with others and share out of our own relationship and give answer for the hope that's in us. David kind of talked about this a little bit during worship. We don't seek God for only His gifts. For only the good can come from Him, only for His blessings. But we can't get water without the wet, and we can't get God without the blessings. So when we do seek God, those things will come. But persecution will as well. It says that in Timothy, all who live godly will suffer persecution. So if all we're going for is the stuff, and then we get some bad stuff along with it, then we might pull back once there is resistance and difficulty. But when we're pursuing God diligently and we realize that He's our exceedingly great reward, that He's our biggest blessing, is that relationship, then we won't back down. We can continue and strive on and continue forward. I talked about this verse a couple times already, but in James 2:17 it says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So faith without works is dead. Faith is active, it's living, it will always have a corresponding action. So when God speaks to us, there will be steps to take after that. The faith that we gain and grow in, we continue to walk that out. In the Message Bible, it says, "Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense?" You know, the Pharisees, they had a lot of knowledge of God, a lot of knowledge about the Bible, but they couldn't have been further from the heart of God. Their lives were just all talk and no walk. And Jesus was the harshest with them. He called them devils, sons of the devil. He called them serpents. Yeah, he was what seems like very harsh, but we know he didn't sin. But love in that situation needed to hold them accountable and wake them up, help them realize how far gone they were. So we need to walk the walk and talk the talk. Both are important. So faith without works is dead, but works without faith are dead too. They both walk hand in hand. You know, the Pharisees were working hard, but they had no real faith. So they were dead. They weren't long lasting. They were not eternal. There was not eternal value there. You know, and we see that in the Gospels, you know, the people that said, "Lord, Lord, you know, we cast out demons in Your name, we did all these things in Your name," and Jesus says to them, you know, "Go away from me, I never knew you." You know, that was works without faith. That was works without relationship. Relationship needs to be first, and then out of that we can grow in our words and in our actions. So we shouldn't only go to God to hear what He has to tell us, but then ask Him, "What now? What should I do now? What's the next step?" And then be obedient with what He shows us. And if we're trying to speak to the Lord and we aren't hearing, I know a lot of times it might be because we have issues with bitterness or unforgiveness. You know, when we pray, we're to make sure that we aren't harboring unforgiveness towards someone, that we aren't holding a grudge. So if we're having a hard time hearing, or there's a block there, check and ask the Lord if you have an issue with needing to forgive someone or bitterness or anger somewhere in your life that needs to be addressed first. It talks about that in Mark 11:25. It says, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." In the Amplified, it says, "Forgive him and let it drop, leave it, let it go." So the Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. A lot of times we judge people, other people, by their actions, and we judge ourselves by our own intentions. You know, we're much, a lot of times we're harsher on others than we are on ourselves. So we need to make sure we aren't holding on to things, that we see people through God's eyes. Because that's how we can then minister to people, when we see their God-given potential and purpose. No one is too far gone. No one is so lost that they can't come back. You know, Paul was murdering Christians. He was the head honcho leader in persecuting Christians, and God used him mightily. He heard God. He had an experience with God, and it changed his life forever. And he went on to write 13 books of the New Testament. In the Message Bible, it says, when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that's not all asking. If you have anything against someone, forgive. So we need to have faith in the Lord, faith that comes by hearing, faith that has corresponding action, faith that has hope and confidence, that title deed that we can hang on to even if it hasn't manifested in the natural realm yet. Just look at a couple more passages here. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, we're limited to our own understanding, to our own knowledge, to our own wisdom, if we live life on our own, disconnected from God. If we aren't including God, then we can only gain the information by our five physical senses. Without God, we can only walk by sight. We can only walk by our best guess. But when God is included, we can be led by someone with perfect perspective, who not only knows the end from the beginning, but who is the end and the beginning. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's outside of time. You know, the Holy Spirit, part of his job is to show us things to come. He can see the beginning and the end because he is the beginning and the end. You know, God's not limited. You know, if we're led by the Lord, we won't be limited either. When we hear and gain faith from him. When we live that way, we can be exactly who God has called us to be and do exactly what God has called us to do. We can fulfill our purpose. We can grow in relationship with the Lord. We can be effective in our ministry and in our families and in our workplaces, in our circle of influence. And if we prove ourselves faithful in that, he can trust us with more. We can be exactly who God has called us to be and do exactly what God has called us to do. So I just wanted to encourage you guys with that. You know, if we have doubts or concerns or things we're struggling with, I guarantee there's promises in the Word about it. If you can't find it, Google it. I do that all the time for verses. I'm bad at remembering references, so I just Google them all the time or do a search in my Bible study app for a phrase and find it, and then we can stand on that. We were texting as a family the other day, and Lori was reminded by the Lord about how many times when they would pray, that they would pray using Scripture too. And that's a very effective way of praying because it's God's word. So you can pray using Scripture and by the Spirit and the words he gives you as well. And you can pray in the Spirit as well. When you don't know how to pray, when you don't know all the words to say, he can give you the utterance. So that faith, it's overcoming, it's able to get the victory, to prevail, to conquer, to bring the world to its knees. That faith that comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God that's active and powerful and has corresponding action and works with it.